Well, I was very experienced, never used to have a lot of discrepancies until the first day of reopening. We were rewired as part of my refurbishment, which I had to be. It was part of my contract. And from day one, we were having issues where the connection kept dropping off the computer. And then we'd get a phone call from the alarm company saying we were pressing the alarms and things like this, which we were. Also, our safes were wired in under the unsecure area of the counter. They were run on the computers, and that kept saying it was empty, even though it was full. And we didn't understand it because they were new to us. They were a new concept. These were new things.
This was the Fujitsu system. This is what was communicating with head office.
Well, what was happening, if you remember old-fashioned dial-up telephone years ago, when people used to ring you, your internet would fall out. Well, because there was so much wired into my phone lines, every time the phone rang, my system would drop off. Even someone walking in the shop, that would set off an alarm sensor which would drop out the connection on my computers. Every time we had to go in the safe, that would drop out the computers. And this was from the minute we opened.
Very disturbing for you, I understand that. And then the story that we've heard in Mr. Bates versus the Post Office, and actually much earlier than that, is that people who ran post offices like you, you were accused somehow of stealing money, of mismanaging things. Did that happen to you?
Well, it would have done, which is the reason I closed, is because my system kept dropping out, transactions were going missing, and I suddenly started putting thousands and thousands of pounds in to balance the system.
Of your own money?
Of any money that I was earning. So in the nearly 2 years I was open, I never actually took a wage home. Every penny I had went into the system. And even once I started getting the post office involved, because for a while I closed the office and refused to work in it until somebody came out. I went to my MP, I went to the papers, story was run, and the post office promised, you know, that faithfully we'd get it sorted. And I was constantly all day onto the helplines.
I've got to ask you this. How were you living? If you were constantly making up this apparent alleged shortfall when you balance the books at the end of the day or the computer system did, how were you actually affording to eat and keep a roof over your head?
Well, I was lucky that my partner worked and he was fully keeping us. But obviously it was detrimental to our home life. Also, the worry, I mean, one day alone, I was £39,000 short on the system. And although some of my transactions would come back, not everything came back, which was why I was putting so much money in. And by this point, I was speaking to my union. I knew exactly what was going on. I knew the router was dropping out every few seconds. He'd had me watching it. And it didn't matter how many times a day I phoned the helpline, I couldn't get anybody to come. And what happened was, after nearly 2 years of no sleep, I was nearly dropping dead. I was that ill. My blood pressure was life-threatening. My doctor kept saying, I'm going to have a stroke. I couldn't even get to the doctors by the end because my staff had left with the stress involved. So they'd all had stress and left and couldn't deal with it anymore either. I had customers getting very irritated because nearly every time they came, the post office was shut, because I kept closing it because I couldn't serve them because of the system issues. Given in the end, I was that ill, I'd taken no money home for nearly 2 years. I had to face the decision that how do I make myself bankrupt? Do I wait until something drastic goes wrong? I'd already run out of money. I didn't have any money. Or did I close myself knowing that I couldn't pay my business loans? Because I spent 2 years trying to get the post office to act. I had the directors of the post office come down.
Is that what you did then in the end? Sorry to interrupt you, but did you make yourself deliberately bankrupt to bring it all to an end?
Yeah, that's what I had to do. If I hadn't have done that, I would not be alive now. I was so ill. I felt absolutely horrendous. I was at a point where I was nearly dropping dead. I'd probably slept less than an hour a night for nearly 2 years, and it was just so stressful.
You weren't prosecuted. You weren't sent to prison. You're not one of these 700 plus postmasters and postmistresses who, you know, faced jail time. But obviously it had an appalling effect on your life.
I had a complete nervous breakdown after I'd closed. I had to go for trauma counselling. And I went for counselling for months and months and months. I was having 30 to 40 panic attacks a day. I still suffer with anxiety. I was on depression tablets. I had life-threatening blood pressure. All the stress of it made me go into early menopause. I've now got osteoporosis because of that early menopause. I've got something called hyperparathyroidism, which meant they should have found tumours in my parathyroid. They haven't actually found that. So still don't actually physically know what's wrong with me. I've got chronic fatigue syndrome. I've been left absolutely devastated. And I mean, for a long time, it absolutely decimated the person I was before. I'm no longer the same person as I was. And yet I'm supposed to be one of the lucky ones.
Does the fact that you weren't prosecuted leave you in a bit of a strange situation? Because all the talk now is of pardoning those people who were prosecuted, of making financial amends to those people. Are you in a bit of a different situation? It strikes me you're in sort of limbo.
Yeah, what's happened is, actually, you wouldn't believe it, but the post office who did this to us are running the compensation schemes and deciding how much compensation to pay their victims. And the offers that people like me, people in a very similar situation to me, who've lost businesses, so we've all lost our businesses, we've all lost our, which we would have sold, that would have been our future, that would have been my retirement, have been offered less than £5,000 stress and trauma. And for people saying I was thieving, which happened as well, you know, that I was hearing the rumours, because obviously I have friends round here, I live on the same estate my shot was in. All the rumours went round that she was on the take, she was on the fiddle, and she'd been shut down by the post office.
Horrible to have rumours like that. Who do you blame for this? I mean, Fujitsu, they were the company that made the computer software, the Horizon software, the post office, they commissioned it. There were politicians who knew about it and did nothing.
The post office are ultimately owned by the government. The government were shareholders who sat in on the meetings. Lots and lots of people in our situation went to their MPs. And all they would do is the MP would write a letter and the government would write back and say, we are committed to the post office. We are putting this much money into the post office. The post office is an arm's length portion of us and we have no control over them. There was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people going to their MPs saying, I've got all these problems, I've got all these problems. The government who owned the post office didn't do anything. So as much as I blame the post office, as much as, let's face it, we've had ultimately that many different governments. We've had all these different ministers who were involved in the small business. They're all involved because they're all complicit, because there were so many people telling them there's a problem, there's a problem. So the government went and said, we want something done. So the post office said, well, we'll get a second site to investigate. Then when they got the report was due, they sacked second site. The government should have stopped them there and then. The government should have stepped in at that point. And then the government gave them over £100 million to defend against this court case. They spent over £100 million of government money defending the indefensible, only to find out through the disclosure, which they haven't disclosed everything yet. In fact, the inquiry keeps getting stopped because of the lack of disclosure, because the post office aren't sending the documents down. Then we're pulling out evidence that they've known from the outset that this system was not working and not fit for purpose. That is discussed before it even went live, that it wasn't ready to go live. And it was Tony Blair who made them go live with it because of the money they'd spent on it. So they're all involved.
If you could wave a magic wand now and change something or bring about an outcome, what would you like to see happen? There is talk of prosecutions of people in the post office. There's talk of stripping the woman who was in charge of the post office at the time of her CBE. There's all sorts of talk at the moment. What would you like to see happen?
Well, firstly, Paula Reynolds getting a CBE while this was going on. So that should have never happened. She shouldn't have been put up for a CBE when the biggest court case in British history was starting. And this is when she was given it. She then got another government job. Fujitsu have just regained... What people don't realise is that your post office, where you go now, is still working on Horizon. So people are still having issues. And the post office now still saying, I'm sorry, but you've got to put the money in if you're wrong. They're not getting any different treatment at 4 years after the court case than we did while we were going through it.
So an ideal outcome now for you, first and foremost, presumably, you'd like some of the money back that you had to sink in to your post office to try and balance the books.
Yeah, I want my money back. I want compensating for what I went through, and it was horrendous. And it still is horrendous. And the life we should have had, and the life that we were promised, had everything gone properly. Because the problem is now, because I was closed more than I was open, and because I was putting all my money into the system, all my shop takings and things like this, just to balance the system, well, they say, well, you didn't earn very much while the post office was open, so we'll give you an even more reduced fee because because you weren't earning anything, because I was putting it all into the system. But the one thing I would have never, ever done is I would have never made my A-rated credit go to F-rated credit. I would have stayed up until I could have at least paid off my business loans and all the other things. But also, I felt very guilty about closing the post office for the community. Because let's face it, what's the reason you do this in the first place? I loved working at the post office. I enjoyed the community side of the post office. I loved the people that came in the post office. There were friends as well as customers. And I closed it, and now that ruined their life. In fact, we've had shops closed down in the area because people used to spend the money they got in the area, in the shops in the area. And when they weren't getting the money in the area anymore, they closed down the shops in the area because they weren't spending the money in the same area.
This scandal has been known about for years. How do you feel about the fact that it's taken a TV drama on ITV to get the nation to understand quite what happened to people like you?
I don't think it's just about the people. It's about getting the government to understand what's happened to people like me as well. I mean, the TV programme has opened up people's eyes, and I know that people do get involved in TV. I don't really watch TV as a person, but I know my mother used to treat soap operas like, oh, I had a friend that happened to, and you'd be like, no, you didn't, that happened on Coronation Street. And that's how people are, and I think that's what it is. People invest in TV, especially people who are a little bit older, who've got a bit less to do. Or I think all of a sudden people are saying, I watched that programme about you. And I've heard that a few people who've seen me since. And now people are starting to say, I don't know how you survived that. I knew things were bad, but I never realised things were as bad as that.
But you are a survivor. You're sitting here today. You do manage the odd smile. Having said that, there's a mountain of paperwork on your kitchen table and on the sides in your kitchen through there, and you tell me that's just a fraction of it all. But you are a survivor. You should be proud of that, really.
Well, I never felt like a survivor for the previous 5 or 6 years, to be fair. Since I closed and I went through some very, very dark times, I never felt like much of a survivor then. And yes, ultimately, now I can no longer work full-time because my health isn't good enough. So I'm down to a very part-time job. And I do flexi-time at that part-time job so that I can make sure that if I'm having a very bad day, I can come home, I can get some sleep, I can sort of just hibernate a little bit. And my boss is very good about letting me do what I want at work.
They talk a lot these days about closure. What will bring closure for you?
The only thing that will bring closure for me is the financial redress, that getting everything back. But, I mean, how do you account for the fact that when our mortgage finished at the old rate and we were going up to the more expensive rate, my credit was ruined. I was no longer able to upgrade to a cheaper rate mortgage. Luckily, about that sort of time, we got the interim payment. I managed to pay the mortgage off. So, because I didn't owe very much on the house. But obviously, it doesn't settle all me financial stuff. And I mean, at the moment, I can't remember the exact date, but I think it's 2052 I'm expected to be out of debt.
Do you know how much you're owed? Is there a sort of ballpark figure of how much you think you've fallen short financially because of what this post office scandal has put you through?
Well, obviously, there's the amount that I put into the system. There's also the fact that for years I couldn't work. And the fact that now I can't work full-time, I'm only a part-time worker, and even then I am still struggling. There is the health damage. I don't know what's going to come in years to come. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to work for. So financially, I know what they initially put my claim at. I think they initially marked my claim as at 920,000. But I say the post office are offering figures like 5,000 for people like me.
And you think you're owed maybe £1 million thereabouts?
Well, I wouldn't have necessarily 100% said that, but it was through loss of earnings. It was done by a forensic accountant, and that was their loss of earnings, loss of business, and the other things. That wasn't anything to do with a sort of compensation or anything like this. And the government trot out the word compensation, but actually the people that have made claims for it, and the only reason I haven't done mine is because mine's very complex. Because of the way that I closed the business, because obviously some people were sacked. I wasn't sacked. I closed myself, even though as soon as I closed myself, they wrote to me and said that they were terminating my contract, even though I'd only written a letter of intent to close. So technically, they did terminate my contract, but and they have said that I would never be allowed to work in a post office again.
Do you believe it will all be good one day?
I'd like to believe it, but I can't honestly say it would.